Good evening, everyone. My name is Terry Whale, and I'm calling tonight from Scottsdale, Arizona, and I'd like to welcome you to this call, which is going to be diverse because I've got all kinds of questions here to answer from you, and I'm very grateful for your questions and look forward to giving you some answers, at least from my perspective on publishing. If you don't know just a hair about me, I've been in publishing about 20, 25 years. I started out in linguistics, doing language work, majored in journalism in college, went into linguistics for about 10 years, came back to my publishing about 20, 25 years ago, started writing for magazines, had my first book published in 1992 as a little children's book that I did for David C. Cook called When I Grow Up, I Can Go Anywhere for Jesus. Since then, I've written more than 60 books, all kinds of books. I've co-authored books, I've done biographies, I've done Bible studies, I've done self-help books, all kinds of things that I've written over the years. I've also continued to write for magazines. I started out writing for magazines, and I've written for more than 50 publications. I've been a magazine editor. I was an associate editor at Decision Magazine, part of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I freelanced for a number of years, worked at a .com, Christianity.com. I was one of the last 45 employees of that company a few years ago. I have been an acquisitions editor. I was an acquisitions editor at Cook for a couple years, David C. Cook. I also was a fiction acquisitions editor at Howard Books. In addition, I was a literary agent for a couple years. For the last 3 years, I've been with Intermedia Publishing Group. I'm a vice president publisher with them, and we are in the subsidy category. Have a number of questions about self-publishing, and I'm eager to help you answer some of those questions during this time that we're together. So that's a little bit about me. There was some earth-shattering news. I don't want to date this recording too much, but that happened here just in the last day that HarperCollins, which is a part of News Corp, announced that they are purchasing Thomas Nelson Publishers, the largest Christian publishing house, and that transaction is going to happen by the end of the year. It came out of nowhere. The rank and file at Thomas Nelson didn't know about it till about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, from what I understand. So what does it mean? None of us know. We know that something is going to shift out there, and that's a continual part of publishing. Things are always changing. Editors are moving. New editors are coming in. New publications are starting. Publications are closing, merging. It's just a part and parcel for this business. And the thing that about this news with Nelson that nobody knows is that HarperCollins already owns one big publishing arm called Zondervan, and now they're going to own the other, another big competitive piece called Thomas Nelson. So no one really knows what it means, but for many different types of projects, those two publishers compete for the same project, the same authors, that type of thing. So it's going to change out there. And when it comes to change, which is a constant in this business, I wanted to start with this, is there's several ways to handle it. You can panic, you can throw up your hands, and you can leave it and say, I'm not going to be involved in this. Or you can see change as an opportunity, and that's the way I would encourage you to see it, is that there is an opportunity for each of us with that change. They're going to be looking for new authors. They're going to be looking for different kinds of material. And you can be a part of that, and you can be a part of the solution if you get out there and do that. So I really encourage each of you, as you look at your writing lives here, to figure out how in the world you can diversify. Maybe you've been focused on writing a novel for the last year, last several years. Maybe you've been focused on writing a nonfiction book. Maybe you're focused on a children's book or magazine articles. What I would encourage you to do is to look at different aspects of your writing in different ways and really diversify. Because if you've put all your eggs in one basket, in the basket of that novel, then you've put yourself basically in a situation of risk, is the way I look at it. You haven't diversified enough. So I would encourage you to start something new, start a blog, start blogging, start working on social media like Twitter and Facebook. Build that platform and be writing things for online if you're only focused on your novel. And if you're focused on your nonfiction, you should be writing for printed magazines. And then when some change happens out there, some earth-shattering thing like what happened yesterday with HarperCollins announcing that they're buying Thomas Nelson, you'll be positioned much better than if you just focused on one thing. Now, there's some great value, don't get me wrong, to being a specialist in a particular niche and in a particular type of writing. But I think there's also great value to being diverse. And so I just encourage you in that direction. The other thing that I really want to foster and encourage you about tonight, no matter what, there's all kinds of questions that I have heard, but the other kinds of area is to really work on building your relationships. John Kramer, my friend that wrote 1001 Ways to Market Your Book, a huge book. If you don't have that book, get that book, and you'll learn a lot from John Kramer. He's got bookmarketing.com is his website and has a lot of information about the markets out there. But John always talks about how selling books or selling your magazine articles or anything, it's all about relationships. It's all about building those relationships. And you never know when those relationships are going to come into play and be important to you. So work at that. Build them through email. Build them through LinkedIn. Build them through going to the writers' conferences. Build them on the phone. Build them through your writing. Those relationships will pay off in spades as time goes on. If you're not on LinkedIn, figure out what that is. That's more of a business-to-business kind of connection. But there's some wonderful kinds of connections that are happening on LinkedIn. And through that, if you have a connection with someone through LinkedIn, you have a direct email line to that particular editor, to that particular person. If they change publishing houses, if they leave the house, if they become an agent, you're still connected to them. You've built a relationship. So I encourage you, no matter where you are in the publishing process listening to me tonight, to work very hard at building those relationships day in and day out. It's a practice that I've made over the last 20, 25 years of my life. I'm very committed to these kinds of events tonight, like this free teleseminar, where I'm giving out information. I'm also committed to answering my phone, returning phone calls, answering emails. If you email me, you'll likely hear from me because I'm very committed to trying to answer my email and my questions that I get from people. One of the things that I'm hoping tonight as I answer these diverse questions, and I've got over 80 questions from people, all kinds of material that I'm going to try to go through here, and I've got it organized so that it'll have some sense of logic to it. But I'm hoping that tonight, as you listen to me talk and answer other people's questions and your question, that there'll be what I call a pack-your-bag moment here, where during this 70 minutes that we have together, that there's going to be some nugget of information, and probably I won't even know what it is, but something that's going to be a pack-your-bag moment where the entire 60 minutes is going to be worth it because of that nugget of information that you got from me. So I'm going to tell my stories. I encourage you to get a piece of paper, write down some information if you'd like to, or just simply listen to this. We're recording it, so you'll be able to listen to it again and again on your computer. You can download it, play it on your iPod. I will send the recording out to everybody that's registered. And I'm just grateful for all your questions here and glad to have this opportunity to speak to you about these different matters. Now, the way I've tried to organize this is I've gotten a lot of questions in different categories. And the first category that people are always asking about is this whole agent question. Do you need a literary agent? Do you have to have a literary agent? How can I get a literary agent? And they're all good questions. You hear about these literary agents and what wonderful things they're doing for people. And so you want to have an agent too. I can't blame you. So, but there's a caveat with getting an agent here. For example, Rita asks, how do you find an agent for children's books? Good question. There are very few agents for children's books. I happen to know about this because I published more than a dozen children's books, and I used to be an instructor for the Institute of Children's Literature. And I was a literary agent for a couple of years. When I was an acquisitions editor, I did acquire some children's books, and children's books traditionally have very small advances. For one thing, there's a lot of competition. Everybody figures they can write a children's book, that it's simple. It's not. You have to know exactly what you're doing, what age group you're writing for, really study the market, and really study the books if you're going to start to get your work out there. But it's hard for any children's author to find an agent because there aren't very many agents for children's books. And here's the reality. If you're a literary agent, you make your money on the selling people's books to publishers and earning a percentage of their advance and then their earnings, right? So typically you don't get money up front. You just make it a commission on selling their book, typically 15% of domestic, 20% of foreign rights is typically what an agent would get. So you be the agent for a minute. If you're going to take on a first-time author and you're going to sell that book to a publishing house, which would you rather do? Would you rather sell it to a publisher where you get a $5,000 to $10,000 advance, which would probably be typical for a first-time author, or would you rather get a $500 or $1,000 advance or maybe $2,000 for a children's book? Where are you going to spend your time? Are you going to spend your time with those children's books where you're getting much smaller advances, or are you going to spend it with adult books? So you can see why, as an agent, it's very hard. Now, there are some children's agents. Don't get me wrong. I met a children's agent from San Francisco when I was at the Tucson Festival of Books earlier this year. And so there are a number of them that are out there. You just have to look very hard to find those children's agents. Study their websites. See what kinds of things they acquire. And it's all in the pitch to these agents. So one of the best ways to get an agent is to have a great pitch, a great proposal, a great title, a great idea. It's not easy. You can't just whip that stuff out. You've got to pull that together and do that. A lot of my agent friends get thousands of pitches during a year. Some of them get 100 pitches a day through email and over the transom. So you have to really have a good one and work at it very hard. Ruth asked, how do I get through the screening process to convince an agent or publisher to spend their money publishing my book? And that's the route that you're going when you're looking for an agent. You're looking for a traditional book deal where the publisher is going to pay you money, maybe not too much money, but some money to publish the book in advance. They're going to print the book. They're going to do all the editorial work. They're going to control things for that. They're going to control the title. They're going to control the editing, the look of your book, whether it's paperback, hardcover, all those kinds of things. But you have to pitch it in the very best possible way. So practice your pitch. That's what I would advise you to do. Learn what that process is. I'm always reading about my craft. I'm constantly learning from books, magazine articles, articles online. Do the same. You can get these different books. For example, in the whole proposal area, one of the things that I recommend is that you really do have a good proposal. And I have this course that I've taught called WriteABookProposal.com. It's a 12-lesson online course to teach you